If you are satisfied with your message,
welcome to the show. I had a little bit of an issue there. I was signed out of Skype, but I am signed back in with the help of my no-thumbed friend Mr. T. He got me back in there, and the show is on. Sorry about that lost minute or so. We've got a lot to do today, a lot to talk about, and I will be taking calls. And that number at Republic Broadcasting is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Okay. Well, to start with, we have a summit coming up. We have a summit coming up. It looks like it is going to be held July 16th in Helsinki, Finland, between Donald Trump, President of the United States, so-called, and Vladimir Putin, the great leader of the Russian Federation. Let's see what happens there. Of all people, we had John Bolton, the notorious neocon, who was sent over to Moscow to set this up. Now, I know what a lot of people are thinking. Same thing I'm thinking. Huh? John Bolton? Can any of this be trusted? I mean, John Bolton has been the Shabbat Goy for the Zionist establishment for decades. Supposedly he's about an eighth Jewish. Typically you wouldn't think that would matter much, but whatever. He seems to have a very strong allegiance to the tribe, even if he wouldn't be qualify for immigration to Israel, because you have to have a Jewish grandparent. I don't know if one of his grandparents could qualify as Jewish. Maybe. Who knows? But I think this is a very significant development. And to talk about it, we have back on the show William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Morning, Patrick. You really said it. We have a lot to talk about. A lot of things happened in the last 12 hours.
You know. Oh yeah. Lots have been going on. So, well, why don't you set it up then?
Well, you know, the follow up of our discussion yesterday, you know, we were awaiting some official announcement that this meeting between anticipated meeting between Trump and Putin was being set up by none other than John Bolton in Moscow. And as I said, he's not my favorite person, but in following some of the commentary that I was reading in Russia, they were saying that he seems to be probably one of the better people to kick this off, because they thought it was going to be pretty hardball, and that they could trust that he wasn't going to beat around the bushes like some of the other, overtures to open up a discussion. And it actually turned out that was the case. I mean, he said some very interesting things, just yesterday. And he said, you know, I'm here. Remember I told you one of the commentators that I was following said that, you know, Russia has a different idea about Trump. They don't think that he's, you know, a puppet, a patsy, a front piece. They really feel that he is in charge. And they said that, you know, John Bolton was on the payroll. And it in the last month or so, it seems like, you know, he seems to be doing some of Trump's bidding. He's not like a loose cannon like he has demonstrated in the past. And he actually said that.
He may have been a loose cannon the first month, whole bombing of Syria and the attempt to trash the North Korea talks with, you know, comparing it to Libya.
They pointed out, he towed the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he eventually was brought to heel by Trump, and he made a statement. He said, I'm here, because some of the people asked him, like, well, you've said some pretty nasty things about Putin and Russia. And he said, I'm not making any comments about what I've said in the past. I'm mm-hmm. here to do the bidding of President Trump and follow his agenda. And after we talked yesterday, one of the things I really admire about you is that you don't just, you know, go over the news and report this happened today, this happened yesterday. You try to ask questions. And that's really, you know, like we fall into a trap when we just report current events because we're always extremely limited in the amount of time that we have to bring to it. And it is a service to draw attention to current events that people, especially people following the Western press, do not get. But we really need to get down to start, you know, sort of seeing some of these machinations that are obviously happening behind the scenes. And I think a lot of times you ask some very good questions, and I think that that's how we start unraveling some of this stuff.
Well, thank you. I intend to ask you some questions.
Well, fire away.
Well, the first one is, we heard last month that at a cabinet meeting, really in front of everybody, President Trump, well, I don't know if you can say dressed down when you're talking about a female subordinate, but he certainly scolded Kirstjen Nielsen to the point where she was ready to resign.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he blew up at John Bolton and brought him to heel? Have you heard anything about that?
You know, I've done a lot of thinking, especially last night, you know, after our conversation. And I said, you know, I have been disappointed in Trump. I wanted him to move on some of the things that he said he was going to move on. And then I had to just catch myself. You know, let me say, I'm not a fan of people who say, oh, well, he's playing four-dimensional, seven-dimensional chess. I think mm-hmm. we've talked about that. I like to just go right at it. And one of the things I started seeing was that, draining the swamp was going to be an impossible task to accomplish or even to begin. And I think a lot of this confusion or misdirection or ambiguity was caused by a lot of forces in D.C., in his party, you know, if he is a Republican at heart,
mm-hmm.
They were vehemently against almost everything he was for. And when I started looking at some of the things that he has said, like dressing her down, I mean, she was kind of out of control on many occasions and basically telling the reporters to, get with the program. And I think that many times, you know, she would say in the afternoon something basically saying, well, he didn't mean what he said earlier today, or this is a clarification. And I think Trump really did.
And you're talking about Kirstjen Nielsen.
Yeah, Kirstjen Nielsen. Mm-hmm. And what I've also seen, and I started sensing this, you know, weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, is that...
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to...
Yes.
I don't think I mentioned Kirstjen Nielsen, the Homeland Security Secretary who's in charge of immigration.
Yeah, and so basically, you know, what's important is that I see Trump starting to make comments that really call, you know, especially in the, you know, the recent G7 conference in Canada. I mean, he came out with some things sort of off the cuff, which caused a lot of people a lot of alarm, like, you know, on the 8th of June, he just said, you know, Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the whole world, and I don't understand why you, the G7, are supporting it.
He said I did not see that reported. That is,
he said that at a dinner, and immediately all these people rushed to the White House and said, could you clarify this? And they said, no comment. And, you know, this goes along. I mean, wasn't that the whole reason behind U.S. sanctions and kicking out Russian diplomats and closing embassies? Is that, Russia went in and attacked Ukrainian sovereignty? Wasn't that the whole reason why Trump was imposing these sanctions and asking Europe to join him?
Obama was, at the annexation of Crimea. I guess there had been some, weren't there some sanctions put in place in 2008 after the Georgia Russia conflict?
There were attempts, not as full force, for sure. After, you know, and then Trump also said, you know, and reiterated that, hey, you know, Crimea really, you know, belongs to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they all speak Russian, you know, which is pretty a lame comment. But again, it flew in the face of the G7, you know, which is still, you know, saying, hey, you know, this Russian aggression and takeover and annexation of Crimea is a big issue. You know, what I've also noticed in following the European press is many of these European countries were starting to say, look at Crimea. You know, look at how well it has benefited from not annexation, but this, you know, referendum to rejoin Russia. And they're saying that that is one of the biggest steps towards normalization of this area. They certainly don't trust Poroshenko. I think, you know, like one of the questions you asked yesterday was, you know, what could Trump and Putin get out of this summit? You know, what's their... And I think one of the things that they both have, you know, a common goal, is they want to try to find some resolution to this Ukrainian situation and also the Syrian situation. And if you've been following closely, a lot has happened in the last few days, even related to Russia and the United States in Syria.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear about that, but there's just one thing I wanted to touch on before we leave. With Crimea, this is just a little background for everybody. Of course, you know, did Russia get Crimea in the 1800s? I mean, it had been part of the Turkic the Ottoman Empire for a while, but there was the Crimea War. Did they get it before the Crimea War or during the Crimea War?
I think, actually, that's a very complex question, because Crimea was under the influence, even, Russian influence, and basically became, in a sense, annexed very early.
And maybe was the Crimea War the
British, Russia.
The British were fighting the Russians, and were the British trying to detach Crimea from Russia? At any rate,
it was a part of Russia for a long, long time.
For a long, long time, until the 54. And in 54, Khrushchev was, who had been the, he was, he's not an ethnic Ukrainian, but he had been the boss of the Ukrainian Communist Party.
Right.
And he was jostling for position after Stalin died.
He needed their votes.
And a lot of people don't really understand how the Soviet political system worked. Professor Stephen F. Cohen this week on his broadcast, for another reason, was pointing out that Khrushchev really never had a very good grip on the on power. He was certainly never a dictator, and he needed the support of Ukrainian delegates to the, I guess, to the Party Congress.
Yeah.
And so he transferred, as kind of like a birthday present or something, he transferred Crimea from the Russian Republic to the Ukrainian Republic. And in the context of the Soviet Union, which was very, very centralized, it didn't really have an impact on people's lives. But when the Soviet Union was dismembered and by Boris Yeltsin, and was dismembered along these Republican lines, which suited Boris Yeltsin, it did leave Crimea stranded in the Ukraine. These Russian, ethnic Russians in Crimea stranded in the Ukraine. And it was an issue. And there wasn't there a declaration of independence by the Crimea was an autonomous republic within Ukraine, and it declared independence, and then that was just basically put on hold for a long time. We're going to break, and I don't want to get bogged down too much in history because you've got interesting things to say, but we'll be back after the break.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate. corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Patrick Slattery here talking to William from Montana. And I just wanted to give a little bit of background on Crimea. You can comment on it, or if you want to move back to your discussion of Syria and how that ties into this, whichever way.
No, let's spend some time on this. I think it's important to get this down. So go ahead, please.
Oh, well, I was just pointing out that so when the Soviet Union was dismembered, Crimea was basically orphaned in the Ukraine, which it really had not historically been part of. And the Russians in Ukraine had Crimea was a autonomous republic within the Ukraine, and they had a vote, and they voted for independence, but that wound up being put on hold as Russia and Ukraine negotiated a treaty that gave, I believe, was it 50-year lease, or maybe it was a 30-year lease. It gave a very long-term lease on the Sevastopol naval base, which is very important to the Russian Navy, and so it kind of froze the status quo for the time being. But then when Victoria Nuland staged a coup against the elected president of the Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych, who's often described as, you know, a Russian puppet or something, but nothing could be farther from the case. He was not at all a Russian puppet. Putin did not like him. And some people have heard about the involvement of Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort worked for him in his election campaign and said, look, if you want to get elected, you've got to appeal to all of these ethnic Ukrainians in Kiev. And a lot of them would like to be close to the EU. So run a pro-EU campaign. It wasn't a pro-Russian campaign. It wasn't a pro-Russian administration. But then when push came to shove and they were negotiating deals, Putin offered a better deal than the EU. And so in order to do what was best for Ukraine, he was indicating he was going to go with the Russian deal. And Victoria Nuland staged this coup, unconstitutional. And the people of Crimea said, hey, if you're going to overthrow the government and trash the constitution, we want out. And out they got. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, it's a very complex, you know, this is how I got all involved in learning Russian and a whole bunch of other things. Was I was trying to figure this out in 2014, and I thought it was going to be a two-month, three-month task for me to get a handle on it. It was like years. It became so complex because, you know, there were a lot of, it's interesting, you know, if you go back, I couldn't keep all the players straight because I couldn't remember their names, and so I just determined that I was going to learn their names, and I made up 3x5 cards and did it. And when I got into it, I realized that this whole thing was very complex, and the EU and NATO was really trying to use the Ukraine as a way to put missiles right on the border of Russia. And, you know, Poroshenko bubbled to the top, and it's very interesting if you would do sort of a search on his history and his, his long-term involvement with this whole Ukrainian crisis. And he was trying to make the same deals, you know, with EU and bankers that Greece made, and Yanukovych said, you know, no, we don't want that. That's going to put us in indebt us in a way that would not be positive for the Ukraine. And one of the things that Putin was very much in favor of was an independent Ukraine. He didn't want the Ukraine to become a vassal state or a part of his new projected empire. He felt that independence was one of the best ways to allow the Ukrainians to work out these very difficult problems without Russia trying to do it for them. But Russia was positioned to really supply a lot of help in reconstructing the Ukraine, and so he felt that it was a win-win situation. Well, Victoria Nuland said no cooperation and right. No...
Of the State Department, Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State.
Yeah, she said no, no way, and then, basically the Ukraine and the government there was overthrown, and this puppet government, based out of Kiev. And basically, Poroshenko, told NATO and the EU, all you have to do is give me the arms, and I'll clean out the eastern part of the Ukraine, because they're all Russians. You know, they're all Russian-speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the deal,
All right, so we will be back after the break with a lot more on National Bugle Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. I'm Patrick Slattery with William from Montana. And, I mean, you were explaining the situation in Ukraine, and I know you want to get to the situation in Syria as we, you know, go over the agenda for this meeting that's going to take place in two and a half weeks, I guess, in Helsinki. But there's one – I have a question. And this is regarding Bolton and the use of Bolton. And, you know, maybe Bolton is just such a craven sellout that, you know, Trump feels he's in a position to outbid the neocons. But here's my question. You remember President Nixon, of course, and Richard Nixon, even, you know, he had been more or less Senator McCarthy, Joseph McCarthy's right-hand man in the you know, late 40s, early 50s, very anti-communist, big-time Cold Warrior. And yet he was the president who met with Brezhnev and started the tradition of these regular summit meetings and got the United States on the path to détente. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan was elected on a very, very Cold War hawkish platform. And in his first term, he was talking about the evil empire and joking on a live mic that, you know, I've signed legislation declaring Russia illegal. We start bombing in 5 minutes, something like that. And yet he's the one who thought he had ended the Cold War, he and Gorbachev. These two very, very, probably our two most anti-communist, anti-Soviet, anti-Russian presidents were the ones who turned relations around. Now Trump comes in, and his election was saying, wouldn't it be great to make friends with Russia? And he has been hit with this whole Russia hoax, you know, Russiagate hoax, which has tied his hands on it. My question is by employing John Bolton, do you think he is trying to, you know, get something like a Nixon-Reagan shield, like some anti-Russianism that the two of them were able to use in order to then deal with Russia? To give is
well,
that
like
Bolton?
I say, yeah, like I say, you know, even though I'm hesitant, I'm starting to think that maybe some of these four you know, four dimensional chess players have a point, because it's obvious. The thing that's became very obvious to me in the last couple of weeks is that there were just one hint after another were dropping in this last month, that the, you know, this drive to engage Russia, you know, was coming out of Trump's mouth about every other day. Mm-hmm. You know, first he said that, you know, he thought that the G7 was ineffectual without the addition of Russia. I mean, he said that while he was in Canada. And then, you know, so he said, you know, I think it'll be a more meaningful organization to have Russia back in. And, you know, one of the big things that was happening at the G7 in Canada was that they were trying to get together this uniform statement, which they pressured Trump to agree to. And it basically was saying, we've got to keep the heat on Russia. You know, they poisoned the Skripals, and we can't let up on this. And here, supposedly, the one who led the charge with sanctions against Russia is basically talking about, you know, hey, I'm going to make friends, you know, with Putin and Russia. It's important for American interests. And the interesting thing when you said, I mean, here's John Bolton. You know, if you listen to what he actually said in Moscow yesterday, I mean, it's a lot of it's complete reversal. I mean, he said, well, you know, the fact that Putin put Trump in the White House and meddled with the U.S. elections is complete nonsense. I was like, wait a minute. Wasn't he one of the leaders of that, calling that this is the reason why we have to bring them to their knees? I mean, that was just months ago when he first, you know, was brought on. And then he said, and this meeting is in the best interest of the United States, and it's not unusual. He said, there's nothing unusual. Already European leaders have recently held talks with Putin. And so, you know, when I started hearing that, I started thinking, you know, how believable is this guy? And in a sense, he may have been the best person, because if he comes out with statements that this is all complete nonsense, you know, the meddling and collusion with Putin, if he comes out and says that, it has more weight than if you have some, you know, conciliatory person who's always trying to be diplomatic say it. And so I think, you know, I see a big change, and maybe this is what Trump had to do because of the uniform and huge opposition to even mentioning a meeting between he and Putin. And like I say, this, you know, I was watching this thing very closely last night, and it was amazing some of the things that were being said. And you asked a question yesterday, you know, what could you know, Trump and Putin get out of this? If it's all for show, you know, what are some of the things that they can get? And I started thinking about this, and I said, you know, both of them want a resolution to this Ukrainian situation. You know, and I think, you know, Trump, if you listen to some of the things that are coming out of Germany and Austria, Switzerland and other and Italy, you know, they're saying that they know that this whole takeover and putting in of Poroshenko into Ukraine, you know, had exterior help. You know, this wasn't an uprising of the people who did this. And if you can't get past, you know, that assumption and see the real reality, the real politics that went down in a very dishonest way, you're not going to be able to move forward on this Ukrainian thing. And I think that that's definitely going to be on the agenda, although the agenda isn't totally spelled out. That's going to be on the agenda as a real sticking point. And what's interesting is, you know, the EU and NATO, remember, you know, Trump actually didn't have the highest opinion of NATO.
Right.
You know, and then he went there to this extravagant, you know, new facility, and it looked like he was, you know, on board. And I think he was on board because, in a sense, he had to be on board. He still didn't have control of his administration. But he is now, just in the last few weeks, has called that all into question. And I think if you see, you know, what a mess he made of the G7, I mean, he upset everybody there. And like I said, you know, in a very strange sense, Putin might be one of the few friends, you know, he has left. And if they can come together with some agreements to ease these tensions, you know, in the world, these hot spots like Syria and the Ukraine, I think that will go over big for both of them. And if you, one of the reasons why I try to jump to the Syrian thing real quick, because I felt like, my, we have so much to cover, is that not only did Russia, you know, Putin brought back 30 planes mm-hmm. and 1,400 troops from Syria, and at the same time, Trump, you know, told these, you know, anti-Assad forces in the south of Syria that they could no longer depend upon him, and that when Assad's troops started marching south, they were going to have to go elsewhere. So on both sides, you know, without any, you know, obvious discussion, both sides have shown that they want to try to de-escalate the conflict in Syria. And, you know, one of the criticisms of the United States is that they were still holding fast on saying we have to get rid of Assad. And mm-hmm. Trump, on multiple occasions, said that's really not the first thing on the table. You know, what's on the table, I mean, both Trump and Putin would like to disengage from Syria. And you know why we're still there. You know, Israel is not happy right. with any of this stuff. I mean, they want to heat this thing up and take the fight to Syria as a stepping stone to eventually taking the fight to Iran. And right. I think Trump sees that this, if there isn't some type of resolution in Syria, it's going to be very difficult to keep this progression of aggression in check.
Okay, so here's the next line of questioning. So the if you look at the things that would be on the agenda of this meeting, you'd have Ukraine, you know, maybe, you know, Baltic area too, but Ukraine would certainly be a big thing on the agenda. You'd have the resolution of Syria being a big thing on the agenda. Now, both of these, especially Syria, but also I think the Ukraine, that mm-hmm. Trump is out of step with the foreign policy establishment, out of step with the policy of the Obama administration. We're basically, the United States is on the wrong side of these issues, and mm-hmm. Russia's on the right side. You know, mm-hmm. Russia went there to help Syria defeat ISIS, and you know, the United States has been on Team ISIS along with Israel. And, you know, the American position in the Ukraine was to create a coup d'etat. Now, other issues, well, okay, North Korea might be on the agenda. I guess, you know, the sanctions will be on the agenda. And I don't think President Trump is a fan of the sanctions either. Then you've got nuclear arms control, which is, you know, perennially on the agenda here. But you look at so much of the agenda are things where Trump would be more than happy to oblige Russia, where Trump, but it would be seen as a concession by the media. It would be seen as a concession by the foreign policy establishment.
So, or I mean, treason.
I think Trump. Yeah, or treason. Yeah, treason. Absolutely. If Trump were to cooperate with Russia in Syria, or just let Russia have a free hand in ending that war in Syria, it would be seen as a concession or treason. The same with recognizing recognizing Russian sovereignty over Crimea, ending the sanctions, all things I think Trump would like to do, but they would all be seen as concessions. What can Putin offer to Trump that would seem like he's a concession that Trump could then sell to the American foreign policy establishment? Is there arms control, nuclear arms control, things that what can Trump, Putin offer to Trump that is going to allow Trump to sell any kind of deal he makes to this very hostile foreign policy establishment in Washington?
Well, there's what concerns appearances, and then there's what concerns substance. And one of the things that Putin can really offer Trump is a sane, diplomat to engage and to open up clear channels of communication, which, when Trump went in saying that he wanted to have better communication with Russia, there was this onslaught of throw Trump out, no deals with Russia. I mean, that was like the thing that was being screamed the loudest in D.C., no collusion with Russia. And it was a very successful program of cutting off this, attempt to establish better relations with Russia by saying Putin interfered with the elections. Hillary mm-hmm. should have won. And that has been very effective because a lot of the libtards have joined the chorus saying, he's a puppet. He's one of Putin's bitches, as ludicrous as that might be for people who are following it. And so one of the things that Putin can give to Trump is a more stable avenue of communication of trying to where, like, one of the things that, when Putin was asked to comment on the G7, he said, we got to get away from this creative babbling and get down to discussing real issues. Because he said, when you look at the joint statement that came out of that, which later, supposedly Trump was forced to agree to, and then as soon as he left, and he left early, he came out and said, I'm not going to support that statement. And a good part of that statement was about Russia's aggressive behavior and also the poisoning of the Skripals with no real evidence. And one of the things...
And so the poisoning of the Skripals, this former double agent that had right. been in a Russian prison. He had been a Russian agent, but he betrayed Russia. He had been in a Russian prison, and he was allowed to go to Britain with his daughter. And for right. some reason, Putin, who had control of him, had him in prison, but decided not to kill him in prison, where yep. nothing would be made of it, but to kill him in London, where a big deal would be made of it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and one of the things, if you listen to how, Theresa May described the conference, she said it was a great success of finding common ground. But, that was anything but the truth, that it was many of the attendees. I mean, Trump seemed to, anger almost all of them. And one of the things that happened was that he basically said, I want Russia in, and I'm going to move in that direction.
Okay. We will be back. We have a few more minutes after the break, and something to look for.
Oh.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support.
With Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. And William, I mean, if you have something that you want to say, you can go ahead and say it. Otherwise, I have another question.
Go ahead.
Okay. So President Trump seems to have gotten kind of a boost from a what by all accounts seems to be a very successful summit with Kim Jong-un, which is going to yield a lot of good results. Also, you've got the whole Russiagate scenario. It seems to be blowing up. I know that Rod Rosenstein wasn't he in front of the Senate or in Congress today testifying.
Yep.
Things are breaking down there. You've got the Democrats just going kind of crazy with open borders. Is Trump going to have some wind in his sails? Is he going to have enough wind in his sails to go in and have a very successful and meaningful summit with President Putin? And what should we be watching for?
Well, if he can bring about even small steps to diffusing the huge conflict in the Ukraine, and also make steps towards bringing about some type of de-escalation, at least, in Syria, those will be, I mean, he will add that to his success in North Korea. And that has to be seen, at least on the world stage, as a major accomplishment. And I believe that both Trump working together with Putin are fully capable of bringing this about, once you get past, the sanction mentality. And I'm starting to think that, sanctions really don't help the economy. I mean, supposedly the G7 meeting was all about economic recovery and joint ventures and sanctions. How do we apply sanctions to Iran? Basically, many people in there, many countries in Europe, are starting to say, we're still in agreement with Iran. And many companies, especially German companies, have invested greatly in the in Iran as part of the deal, which is still in effect for them. And I think that, I think in some ways, I think Trump pretty much said, oh, you want me to put sanctions? You want me to go after Putin? I'll do that to prove my patriotism. But I'm going to show you all the ramifications, because these sanctions against Iran also hurt American companies. They were tooling up to go in there and do a lot of business. And also all these trade tariffs have hurt American companies. And I think Trump was basically saying, okay, I'll do what I'm supposed to do, or what, the swamp wants me to do, but I'm going to show you how it's going to hurt us all. And I think that if he can show a resolution to that, many companies will see that this will be more money in their pocket, mm-hmm. if he can bring about a de-escalation in those areas and a normalization in those areas.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, William, for calling up and being part of this show. You were great. I always like to talk about these things with you. I think Trump's made a lot of mistakes so far, but maybe we're going to be seeing finally the Trump that we voted for. Let's certainly hope so. Well, thank you again,
Patrick.
William. Okay, and tune in again tomorrow for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.